We're holding on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, sixth line. We talked yesterday about a bechur, an animal that, a bechur, we know as long as it's a tam, you're not allowed to shecht it and eat it outside of this mikdash. Once it develops a mum kavua, then you're allowed to. Now, what happens really is that the bechur is really supposed to be the property of the kohen. Once it's given to the kohen, then you have actually a machlokas b'shama b'shillel in bechuras, who's allowed to eat it. The halacha, as usual, of course, is like b'shillel, that anybody at that point is allowed to eat it, but you do have to give it to the kohen first. So the Gemara tells Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Havalei Ahu Buchra. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Now, this is the grandson. Yesterday we had Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in a Braisa. This Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is a descendant of his. There were actually a few Rabbi Yehuda Nasiyas. There was one who was a grandson of Rebbe. Then there was another one who was a grandson of his. Anyway, so it's one of them. Havalei Ahu Buchra. He had a Bechur. He had an animal that's a Bechur. It was yomtiv. He wanted to know whether he's able to, whether it has a mum kavua, so he should be able to shecht it and eat it. Rashi mentions that now Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya himself is not a kohen, but he had kohenim eating at his table. So if the bechur turns out to have a mum, then he's going to be able to shecht it and give it to them. Or really, actually, again, given that the halacha is that anybody is allowed to eat it, means he would give it to them, and they in turn could decide that they want to share the meat with other people at the table as well. Anyway, so the question was whether you're allowed to check it on Yom Tov. Shadre Lekamei Dirab Ami. So he sent the Bechur to Rab Ami, Savad Loi Lemechsiye, and Rab Ami was thinking not to see it on Yom Tov. Now, we said yesterday, we had the Machlokes of Yehuda and Rab Shimon in our Mishnah, and we said that according to Yehuda, you are allowed to see a mum of a Bechur on Yom Tov. And therefore we said that if the Bechur is inside a pit, then you have a mumcha go down and check. And the only question is when the mum took place. But to have the mumcha check it on Yom Tov, that would be fine. On the other hand, we said Rav Shimon said Ein Zimin Amuchan, and we said Rav Shimon holds you're not allowed to do that. So again, Rav Ami thought not to see it. In other words, he thought to say like Rav Shimon. Amalei Rav Zrika v'itame Rav Yumia. So Rav Zrika said, or some say Rav Yumia said, no, it shouldn't be that way. Rav Yehuda v'Rav Shimon halacha k'Rav Yehuda. That when you have, in general, when you have a machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, one of the rules the Gemara tells us in Eruvin is that when you have a machlokas between them, generally speaking, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. So it should be over here also. Therefore, so Rav Yehuda should be, so the halacha should be like Rav Yehuda, that you are allowed to see, a chacham is allowed to check the bechur on Yom Tov, see whether the mum is a mum kavua, and be able to shecht it on that basis. So nevertheless, Rav Ami didn't change his mind. So Hodr Shadre Lagabit Lakame de Rav Yitzchak Napcha. So Rav Yehuda Nasiya tried again. He sent the bechur to Rav Yitzchak Napcha to check it. And again, Sovereign Lord of Mechsia and Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha also was thinking not to check it on Yom Tov. And again, Omele Rabbi Yimi of Yetemi Rabbi Zrika, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shifrin Allah Rabbi Yehuda. So Omele Rabbi Abba, so Rabbi Abba says to Rabbi Zrika or Rabbi Yimi, you keep on insisting that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. He says, my time, Allah Shavaktinu Rabbanon, Lamevet Uvdak Rabbi Shimon. Why are you, Rabbi Zrika or Rabbi Yimia, why do you have a problem with Rabbi Ami or Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha following Rabbi Shimon? Why do you have a problem with them following him, Lechumra? Mele, if Rabbi Shimon was being Nekol, okay, I can understand that you don't want them to follow an inappropriate Kula. But what's wrong if they follow Rabbi Shimon Lechumra? Amale. So Rav Yumia or Rav Zrika answers back to Rav Abba, "Va'at ma biyodach? What about you? What do you have in your hand?" In other words, the fact is, we know that in general the halacha should be like Rav Yehuda in a machlokas Rav Shimon. So fakir, if you're insisting that I should be letting them be and letting them check this bechor like Rav Yehuda, then what's your, or the other way around, actually. So Rav Zrika says to Rav Abba, "But at Mabi Yadach, what do you have in your hand? In other words, what's your evidence that the halacha in this case should be like Reb Shimon, that you're telling them therefore that Reb Abba is asking, why aren't you allowing them to pass to like Reb Shimon? So Reb Yumia or Reb Zrika answers back, well, what makes you think the halacha is like Reb Shimon? The fact is, the halacha should be like Reb Yehuda. Amalei, so Reb Abba says, because Hachi Amar Reb Zera halacha Reb Shimon. Because Reb Zera said the halacha is like Reb Shimon. So there you go then. So in that case, that's a reason to say that in this case, it should be like Reb Shimon. And therefore, that after all, Reb Ami, and Reb Yitzchak Napcha are correct in not looking at the Bechor on Yom Tov. Well, Amar Mandahu, one of the Bnei HaYeshiva said, where Rashi says they didn't know the Mesadriya Gemara, when Ravina and Ravashi came to compile the Gemara, they didn't know this Talmud name, but it was one of the Talmudim in the Yeshiva, said, Ezke, I hope to have the schus, the Esak Lahosam, to go up to there to Eretz Yisrael, because all of this discussion so far this discussion had taken place in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and Rabbi Ami and the rest of them all live in Eretz Yisrael. But when this was taught in the yeshivas in Bavel, and one of these Talmidim heard that Rabbi Zera had said, in this case, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, so he says, Ezke, I hope to have the schus, the esach lahosam, to go up to there, to Eretz Yisrael, the agmar l'shmayetim pumi demara, to learn this statement from the actual author of the statement. In other words, this that you're telling me that Reb Zera holds the halacha is like Reb Shimon, I hope to have the schus to go to Eretz Yisrael and hear that personally from Reb Zera. Sure enough, ki solik lahasam, eventually this Talmud did make it to Eretz Yisrael, ashkechev Reb Zera, so he met up with Reb Zera, Omalei, and he asked him, Omer mar halacha k'Reb Shimon, did you, Rebbe, really say that halacha is like Reb Shimon, which then again would justify what Reb Ami and Reb Yitzchak Napcha had done by not wanting to see that Bechor on Yom Tov and look at the room? Omalei, so Reb Zera tells him, Loi, no, actually that's not what I said. Anom istabra Ami. What I said was, it seems logical in this case, to follow the halacha, to say that the halacha is like Reb Shimon. I didn't actually hear from my Rebbeim that the halacha is like Reb Shimon. But I figure that it's more logical in this case to say that the halacha is like Reb Shimon. Why? Midikatoni b'masnisin Reb Shimon Omer kolsha en mumim nikum b'odiyom ein zemen amochan. Since the Mishnah uses the expression that Reb Shimon says that if you don't recognize the mum b'odiyom, which in other words, as we said yesterday, even if you knew b'odiyom that it was a mum over, but you only discovered on Yom Tov that it was a mum kavua, ein zemen amochan. And Reb Shimon had said it's not considered muchan, which we said yesterday means that a chacham is not allowed to check it on Yom Tov. In other words, so we discussed yesterday what Rashi and Tosfos say on it, where Rashi says it's not a matter of muchza, because Reb Shimon doesn't hold of the broad concept of muchza. It's more just that it's not muchan in the sense that the chacham has no business checking it on Yom Tov. And as we said yesterday, depending, we brought a brisa that whether the mum developed on Erev Yom Tov or on Yom Tov, either way, Ein Zemen HaMuchan and even B'diyeved, the Chacham is not supposed to check it, as opposed to, we said according to Tosfos, what it is there's both, that you're not supposed to see mum on Yom Tov, and because of that, Reb Shimon says, therefore, that makes it Muktzah. Anyway, V'katoni lo b'braisa b'loshin Chachamim, anyway, in the braisa that we brought yesterday on Chavav Amud Beis, that same opinion, Ein Zemen HaMuchan, was attributed to the Chachamim. So it's more logical to say that. Since we're calling Reb Shimon's opinion Chachamim in that Braisa, that implies that's the day of the Rabbim, and therefore that's a reason to say that the halacha is like Reb Shimon in that case. Shemamina Mestabra Kavasei. So therefore, that shows whoever composed that Braisa, and we said Reb Oshia had brought that Braisa, which we said was accurate as compared to a different braisa from Adabar Uchmi that wasn't. So therefore, whoever composed that braisa evidently figured that Reb Shimon's svara is the more logical one to accept, and therefore he put it in the braisa as the opinion of the Chachamim. So based on that, says Reb Zera, I figured the halacha is like Reb Shimon, but not that I actually heard explicitly from my Rebbeim that the halacha is like it. So the Gemara says, "My havi Allah." Okay, so what's the bottom line? What is the halacha?
How can you say that the halacha is one way or another when he hasn't heard it? It's a misrepresentation.
No, absolutely not. It means that he feels. How do you think it is? What do you think it is in later times when we have, for example, the halacha is like in a certain thing like Rashi or like Tosfos or the Rosh. Or and so on and so forth. How is it? There's no based in Agadol to decide. The Poysik who decides like him didn't necessarily hear from his Rebbeim. Mistabra Taimei, it's exactly that. He looks over the Svaras and he feels, and other Poysik also feel that it's logical to follow such and such an opinion. And therefore, they establish the halacha is like that. Now, fine. Reb Zera is an Amora. Other Amoroyim would be entitled to disagree with his Svara. But as long as they didn't, then so now Reb Yumia or Reb Zrika had said that Hochi Omer Reb Zera, that I have it on the authority of Reb Zera, that halacha could have Shimon. So all it is we thought that Reb Zera himself had heard it from his Rebbe. It turns out that not, it's Reb Zera's own Svara. But fine, that was still a compelling enough reason to say that it should be. However, now we're going to see if we can find a solid proof one way or the other. So the Gemara says, "My havi Allah." What's the bottom line with it? What is the halacha? So Amar Rav Yosef Toshma the Talya ba'Ashli Rabbi. So Rav Yosef says we're going to bring up proof that it actually depends on Ashli Rabbi. Literally means great ropes. In other words, it's something that was said by great chachamim, where it's going to be very hard to find any contradiction to what they say. Or the word Ashli is Aramaic for ropes. The Aruch also points out the word Eshel is also in Hebrew means a tree, like Vayita Eshel Bever Shaba. So it can also mean Ba'ashli Rabravi, that it's hanging on big trees. In other words, again, that's something that depends on something that was said by great Chacham. Anyway, so what is it? The Amar of Shimon ben Pazi, Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Amar of Yosi ben Shaul, Amar Rebbe, Mishum Kahola Kadisha de Yerushalayim, in the name of the holy congregation in Yerushalayim, and we're going to talk soon who they are. So they said, you should know, Reb Shimon, b'chaver of Amru Halacha Kerameir. You should know that Reb Shimon, meaning not Reb Shimon of our Mishnah, Reb Shimon ben Yechoi, but Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. We had yesterday a braisa where Reb Yehuda Nasiah had said that you could look at that you could look at Mumin on Yom Tov. We discussed the different girsas in the braisa. Is it B'chor Tam or is it a regular B'chor? Anyway, Rebbe had said that you could check it, and Reb Shimon ben Manasseh told him, "What do you mean?" They said, meaning the Chachamim of the previous generation said, "Ain Royin Mumin be Yom Tov." So now the Kahala Kaddisha, Rabbi Yerushalayim said, and we have a whole chain of Chachamim after them who are saying that you should know Reb Shimon v'Chaverav, Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, and his Chaverim, the ones who he said, Ein Royin, Mumin B'Yamtiv, you should know Amru Halacha Kedab, Reb Shimon v'Chaverav Amru Halacha Kedab Meir. They are saying that the Halacha is like Reb Meir as far as Bechor. And we're going to discuss soon what Reb Meir says, and therefore it comes out that Reb Shimon's opinion is not only a das yachid. It comes out you have Reb Shimon and Reb Meir on one side versus Reb Yehuda on the other side, and that's a reason to pass them like the two of them against the one. So, but first the Gemara deals with a side issue. What do you mean Amru? What do you mean that the Kahala Kaddishi Rabbi Yerushalayim said that the Halacha said that Reb Shimon and his friends said, Reb Shimon Manasseh said, and his friends said the Halacha is like Reb Meir? Well, Inuk Shishi Minei Tuva. The Kahala Kaddishi Rabbi Yerushalayim is much older, is a previous generation than Reb Shimon and Manasseh. Because, Rashi says, how do we know the Seder as Ma'anim? Reb Shimon and Manasseh lived in the time of Rebbe and his children. We know in Pirkei Avos, we have, when it lists over there, the following things it says are Chochma v'Azikna v'Aseva, etc., are Norla Tzadikim v'Norla Olam, and it goes through and shows Psukim for each one of them. And then Reb Shimon Manasseh says, Elu Sheva Midas Shemono Chochma l'Tamidim, all these Midas that the Chum said are good for Tamidim to have, Kulam Niskaimu b'Rebi u'b'Vonav. All of them were fulfilled in Rebbe and in his children. So therefore, Reb Shimon ben Manasseh lived long enough to see Rebbe and to see his children and to know that all of them had these milas. So therefore, so they lived in that time. So they lived long enough to be able to live in the time of Rebbe and his sons. Now, the Kohola Kaddish of Yerushalayim, the Gemara is telling us, lived in an earlier generation. Now, who are the Kohola Kaddish of Yerushalayim is actually not so simple. And in fact, Marsha refers to a sefer from the times of the Gaonim called Seder Tanoim Mamiroyim, which identifies one of the members of the Kohola Kaddish of Yerushalayim as being Rav Shimon ben Manasseh himself. So in that case, that doesn't seem to fit so well with our Gemara saying that they're older than him, unless it means like he was a junior member of them. But there are a couple of other sources that talk about who exactly these people were. Not all of them identify the members of them, but whatever. The Gemara is telling us over here that they lived in a time before Rav Shimon Manasseh.
And after
the mayor, obviously, yeah. So they're older. So usually when you have somebody saying like that, you usually have, let's say, an Amora saying about a Tana. You should know this Tana holds like this Amora holds like that Tana, or that Tana holds like that other Tana, or whatever. You're not going to have an earlier generation is going to say about a later generation what they hold like. So Ela b'shitas Reb Meir Amrua. Rather, what it is they're not saying that Rav Shimon ben Manasseh holds that the halacha is like a mayor. Because, yeah, they're older. Why would they think that what Rav Shimon ben Manasseh and his chavedim say in that sense is binding? Rather, what they're saying is you should know that they are following the shita of Rav Meir. In other words, therefore, it's like the elders are saying about the younger ones, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh and his chavedim, you should know what they just said seems to fit best with the opinion of Reb Meir. And what is that? Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Bechoros, Hashoychet es ha-Bechor v'achalka cheres mumor. Now, we said that you have to a Bechor has to have a mum, but mum kavua before you shecht it. What happens if you did things backwards? You shechted the Bechor, then you showed the Chacham, and it turns out that it does, in fact, have a mum kavua. Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda says, fine, the mi is mutter, you did wrong, you should have shown it to the Chacham first, but the fact is it has a mum kavua, so what's the problem? Rabbi Meir says, no. Hoyo v'nishchat shaboy api mumcha, since it was shechted not according to a mumcha, not with the supervision of a mumcha, also, then it remains also, even though it turns out that it had a mum kavua. Alma kasavar Rabbi Meir re'iyas v'chor lav k're'iyas treva. So therefore, we see from that, Reb Meir holds that seeing a Bechor is not the same, is not as lenient as seeing a Trefa.
But you can't see a Trefa until you see it.
Well, that's true, but the point is, in other words, the point is not that the Trefa happens before and that the Trefa happens afterwards and the Bechor is the first. Right, well, it is. Re'iyas Bechor Mechayim, the Bechor has to be seen, Reb Meir says, while it's still alive, to see whether it has a mum. Re'iyas Trefa La'acha Shchita, to see whether it's a Trefa by now of necessity. That happens right. Only after it's shechted. Umina. And in other words, the idea is that Rashi explains, the point is, in other words, that it's not just... Even you have, the Gemara is going to talk about soon, what about if you have an obvious, blatant mum in a Bechor? So the kind of thing where you could easily tell before it's shechted. Nevertheless, the Chachamim are telling you, according to the mayor, do not, or even according to Rabbi Yehuda, L'chatchila, do not shech this animal until a mumcha has officially pronounced that this animal is a Baal Mum. So he was over on that. So as opposed to a trefa, you're allowed to shecht even if an animal has a blatant trefa, you're still allowed to shecht it and take a look afterwards and ask the shayla whether it's a trefa or not. So therefore, so the Re'iyas Bechor that Meir holds is a more serious thing.
If it has a trefa, then it's trefa.
If it has a trefa, it's trefa, right? But let's say
if you can shecht it, maybe it's not trefa.
Let's say, for example,
then
yeah.
You show it to the
Let's say then you show it to the Chacham. So we're not talking maybe on Yom Tov, but we're talking about on weekdays. In other words, you'd be able to. Yeah. So Umina. Then, based on that, once you're already saying that Re'iyas Bechor is different than Re'iyas Trefa, and by the way, we mentioned yesterday a svara of the Terumas Hakedeshin that distinguishes between Re'iyas Bechor, where the Chacham seeing the Bechor creates the Heter. Without that, the Bechor is by definition not Mutter. As opposed to, let's say, you have a Shaila in Trefas, you have, let's say, something got mixed up in your kitchen, it's really only a Gili Milsa Ba'alma, a if the Chachamim are telling you, now that the Chacham is telling, the Rav is telling you that this was mutter all along or was also all along. So therefore, so that kind of thing is allowed on Yom Tov. You know, like, imagine, for example, you had a Taruvus in your kitchen on Yom Tov, the Chacham would be allowed to, or before Yom Tov, as the case may be, you'd be allowed to go to the Rav and he can paskin for you one way or the other, and then it'll be, and if it's mutter, then it's mutter. Whereas, whereas with a Bechor, you can't do that. Umina, based on that then, it would come out, Re'ias Trefa after the Yom Tov. So to look at a Trefa would be, so Reb Shimon and Manasseh then are learning from Reb Meir, since looking at a Bechor's Mum is so important in Halacha, it's called Achshavei, the fact that the Chachamim said you have to do it gives it a certain Chashivus, then therefore, now, if the Chacham looks at the Bechor, then it's like we talked yesterday, it's like the Sakin and like Dun Din. You're like fixing something. Now you're making it that before it was completely unusable, and now it becomes usable. And also it's like judging a Din Torah, both of which are also on Yom Tov. So therefore, so they use the Meir's Shitta to derive that the Re'ias Trefa after the Yom Tov, to look at a Trefa and determine whether it's Trefa or not, that you can do even on Yom Tov. Yes, Bechor, Me'erev Yom Tov, but to see a Bechor, you would need to do on Erev Yom Tov. So that's where, so the Kahola
Kaddish.
Right, so in other words, so the Re'iyah, so the Kahola Kaddish of Yerushalayim is endorsing, we said they're older than Rav Shimon Manasseh, so what it is, so again, the Kahola Kaddish of Yerushalayim is older than Rav Manasseh, so they're not saying, you should know a Chacham of a previous generation said such and such, we have to follow it, but they're saying, you know, if we analyze what this junior guy, Rav Shimon Manasseh and his Chaverim are saying, it comes out that they're following Rav Meir's Shitta.
The point is,
in other words, therefore,
I just want to keep track.
Right. So now we have Rabbi Yehuda is a Das Yachid against both Rabbi Shimon of On Mishnah and Rabbi Meir, from whom we're learning that from
both
whom
Rabbi Yehuda Das Yachid.
So Rabbi Yehuda of On Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi is a Das Yachid against Rabbi Shimon,
and
who
Rabbi
said
Yehuda,
and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Right. Right. But we're focusing over here on the generation of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir. It comes out Rabbi Yehuda in On Mishnah allows a Chacham to see a Bechor on Yom Tov, but Rabbi Shimon does not. He clearly says so in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Meir doesn't either, which we're deriving from the fact that he says that you can't see the Bechor after it's shechted. You have to first see it and confirm that it's a mum, and only then shecht. However, Amalei Abai. So in other words, that's what Rabbi Yosef is saying. So you see that this whole thing depends on very heavy ropes. In other words, now that we have that the Kahala Kaddish of Yerushalayim endorsed that this shitta to say that you're not allowed to see Mumin on Yom Tov is also the shitta of Rabbi Meir, then now you have a very hard time slugging up and saying that you shouldn't follow that lachalot. So therefore, that justifies what Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha did earlier on the Amud, where they didn't want to see the Bechor on Yom Tov. However, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, Otu Hosam Beroyin Mumin Pligi. What? You're thinking that the machloikas there about Rabbi Meir really has to do with whether you're allowed to see the Bechor, with whether you're allowed to look at the Bechor after Shechita, and that's a matter of Rabbi Meir says that Gedika has a certain chashivos, and therefore you can't, you have to do it before Shechita? No. B'knasa pligi. Essentially, they're arguing about a knas. To Amar Rabbi Baba Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Bidukin Shabayin. If the mum on the animal was that it had, let's say, a cataract on its eye, Kulei Amalei pligi to Osir, then everybody would agree it's Osir to do it before Shechita. Mishum de Mishtanin, because such mumin have a tendency to change after the animal dies. So you might have where before, while the animal was alive, this a mumcha would have realized that this is only a mum over, and now after it's dead, the appearance of the eye changes, and now it looks like it's a mumcha boy.
And you said in the other mishnah that from this stuff, we know that it's probably a tzedukin.
Is
cataract,
right,
and not the other,
and not the other possibility with an eyelid, right?
Because the eyelid wouldn't change, but the cataract would.
Right. So there is some discussion what dukin shabayin means. So Rashi over here, and in most other places, translates it as a cataract. Translates a French word that means like a peel, which amounts to a cataract over the eye. But yeah, there are Rishonim who learn that Duk in Shabayim maybe means the eyelid. But yeah, it seems a little hard to say that over here because that wouldn't necessarily change so much, right?
But from the other perspective, it seems like they were right.
Right, because you haven't. Right,
I don't remember where that.
Well,
was.
So that's in Gittin, in the story of the Churban over there, in the story of Kamsa,
yes,
Bar Kamsa,
right,
where
right,
Bar Kamsa
right,
made a mum Duk in Shabayin.
Right, exactly.
There, it seems more logical that Duk in Shabayin means that he made a mum in the eyelid, because how do you give an animal a cataract? Yeah. Anyway. So, Bedukin Shiva'ayin Kulam Olet Pligid Osir, Mishrum de Mishtanin, because such things tend to change after the animal's dead. Ki Pligi B'mumin Shiva Guh. The Machloika says about other mumim in the body of the animal, which don't necessarily change after the animal dies. Reb Meir Sava Gazrinan Mumin Shiva Guh Otter Mumin Shiva'ayin. Reb Meir then holds that we make a Gzera that we don't allow this kind of thing even with mumim on the body, because if you do that, you're apt to be matir mumim shabayin as well. But Rabbi Yehuda Sava like Gazrinin. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that we're not gozer on that, and therefore it's fine to check other kinds of mumim which don't change after the animal's dead. Those you can check after shechita. So therefore, so says Abaya, so the machlokes doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the chashivos of the bedikah. Maybe Reb Meir doesn't hold that the bedikah has such chashivos as to say that Reb Shimon and Manasseh and company are right in asking it on Yom Tov. Maybe they're only saying that. Maybe Reb Meir is only saying that I'm making a gzera or a knas that you shouldn't do it with any other one, and consoning that if you do, then the meat is also. In fact, Amar Rav Nachman talked about Masnisin Nami Deka. In fact, if you look at the words of the Mishnah in Bechoros, then that seems to bear out that explanation. Dikatani, because the Mishnah says Rav Meir Omer Hoyover Nishchat Shalayapim Mumka Aser. He says because it was shechted, not based on having been seen by a Mumka, then it's Aser Shmamina Knasa Hu Dikatanis. So you see that a mayor is actually doing a knas over here. He's saying, in other words, he's saying that it's a gzera and a knas that he's saying. A mayor oiser, the fact is that looking after shchita, it's not that he's saying that looking after shchita doesn't work. Then he would have used the expression ein zera'ir or something like that. He's saying that he's saying a knas so that you don't ever do this again. So
right.
Reb Meir is saying, because the Kohen was a Rosha and shechted it without waiting for the Mumcha, therefore I'm cancelling and saying that it's also. Shmamina Knasa Hudikakonis. So you see from that Reb Meir holds that it's a Knas. Shmamina, so that proves it. So therefore, not necessarily does Reb Meir in fact hold that it's also to see the Mum of a Bechor on Yom Tov. Maybe he would say that it's Mutter. So now, what is, So now, as far as this Rachlokas, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, where a Bechor was shechted Shaloi Api Mumcha, and afterwards you find a Mum, what is the Halacha? So Tosfos says over here, the Halacha should be like Reb Yehuda. I Halacha could have Meir Bigzei Roisav, that's Bigzei Roisav, not Bikinasoisav. Here the Gemara is calling a Knas. On the other hand, many other Rishonim passed him like Reb Meir, either because, after all, the Gemara over here is also calling it a Gzeira, or because they hold Halacha Kremeir B'Knasoysev as well, and that is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that if a Bechor is Shechted Shaloi Apin Mumcha, then the meat is Osir, even if it's a blatant Mum, which is obviously the same before and after the animal is Shechted. By the way, within that, nowadays we don't have Mumchim, because to be a Mumcha you need Rishus from the Nasi, and of course we don't have a Nasi anymore. So actually what it is the Gemara tells us in Bechoros that you need instead Shloisha B'nei HaKnesses. You need three Jews who are at least learned enough. They spend enough time in Shul and are learned enough to know the basic halachas. However, within that, though, you still have only very blatant mumim are matir Bechor. Only where it doesn't take a mumcha to realize that it's a Bechor. We still have Bechor nowadays, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, now, what people do try to do is, and the Altadeva brings this in the back of Shulchan Aruch, in the Siddur, is so the Altadeva starts talking about that. In theory, what you could do is, In theory, what you do is you sell the ear of the mother to the goy before the baby is born, and that way the goy has a partial ownership of the mother, and therefore that would be mafkia, that would take away the kedushas b'chor. However, the Alter Rebbe says that it's hard to do that in a way that will be completely valid on the halacha that will address all the different opinions of poskim on that. Not everybody knows how to induce it to sale properly. Therefore, the better thing to do is to sell the mother as a whole. So you do like mechiras chametz, and in fact, the Alter Rebbe describes it right after seder mechiras chametz. When we gave dabri, by the way, since we're talking about seder mechiras chametz, let's talk about seder mechiras behema amvakeres, and it's somewhat similar to mechiras chametz. Although the Alter Rebbe points out there are some important differences. One of them is you don't usually write a shtar, because in goyish law you don't usually write a shtar when you sell an animal, unlike you do when you sell mashke, let's say, which was the reason why mechiras chametz became the thing that it does, is because Jews had large stocks of mashke. Anyway, then... So at the very end, there's one last paragraph over there where the Alter Rebbe says, by the way, don't think that if there's a nick or something in the ear of the Bechor, that would be reason enough to be matirah. No, that's not a valid enough thing. The only way would be actually if the cartilage, which is like right outside the skull, only if that gets damaged or removed, only then would that be a mum, not if any external part of the ear is nicked or damaged or whatever. And in fact, the Tzemach Tzedek refers to, in a tshuva of his, the Tzemach Tzedek tells a story that happened in Ladi shortly after the Alter Rebbe and his family moved there, where there was a bechor over there. It had a nick in its ear. The local shamash or something decided that that's good enough to be a mum, and he and a couple of other people were after it. Then, though, they asked the Maharil, the Alter Rebbe's brother, about it, and he wasn't so sure, and they brought the case to the Alter Rebbe, and eventually the upshot was they had to bury the meat, because it was also Bahana. It was also Bahila, at least, anyway. So based on that, then the Alter Rebbe added this paragraph, saying that, no, don't think that a nick in the ear is good, but the Chlal in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about, so you have, and here you have a case where the Halacha ends up being stricter for Sfardim than for Ashkenazim. Because the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch brings only a very short list of mumim that are so blatant that Shloisha B'nai HaKnesses could be matter then. As opposed to, the Ramah refers to, he says the Tur gives a much longer list based on the Rosh. And the Rambam says, you want to be Makel, so the Mechaber is getting his list from the Rambam, and the Rambam gave only that short list. But if you want to be Makel, like the Tur, who after all got it from the Rosh, the Rambam says, fine, Loi Hifsid, then you don't lose out by that. So Ashkenazim are able to...
Of Ram Moshe cringing over the dog eating the ear off the end.
So we're going to talk about that on Amud Beis, actually.
Oh, okay.
Okay, anyway. Fine.
Here we go again.
So Tosfos learns that the halacha should be like Rabbi Yehuda, and if the animal was shechted and only then you showed it to a mumcha, it should be fine. Most other Rishonim passed like a mayor, and that is how the halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch. As far as the machloikus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, we said, again, we did say before that Rabbi Zera says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and that's how it is, therefore. So even though it was only based on his own svara rather than a kabbalah from his rabbeim, nevertheless, that's good enough. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Ami Vardana, Rashi says, why, what's the name Vardana? Two explanations. One, he was very handsome, like a rose, which is a vered. The other one is Rashi prefers the explanation that he was from a place called Vardina, which the Gemara mentions in Erevin. The Gemara mentions many people over there were very stingy. Maybe. But the people over there in Vardina were very stingy. Whether this Ami Vardana was or not, we don't know, but in any case, he was from Vardina. So he was one of these experts. He's one of these mumchim who's able to look at a bechor and determine whether it has a mum kavua or not. Chazi brucha de benasiya hava. So he was the one. He was the one who regularly would check bechoris for the family of the nasiim. So he maybe wasn't around. So before when Rabbi Huda Nasiya had his bechor and sent it to Rabbi Ami, maybe this Ami Vardina wasn't around. But anyway, this Ami Vardina was the usual one who would check. However, but on Yom Tov, he would look to see whether it's a mum kavua. Also, so they came and told Rav Ami, Omalahu, and Rav Ami told them, Shapir ka'avad le'chazi. He did correctly in not seeing it, like we said earlier on the Amud, because Rav Ami agreed with Rav Zeira that the halacha is like Rav Shimon.
Well, he wouldn't be cheap then.
Right. Okay. So, no, but actually, you're mentioning about being cheap. Actually, it's not so simple. But you're not allowed to take a scout for looking at Bechoris at all. In fact, the Mishnah and the Gemara tell us in Bechoris, only you have certain rare exceptions. You have somebody that mentions over there, Elah from Yavne, who was, the Chachamim allowed him to take a salary, but he's only allowed to take one time for any animal and check it as many times as necessary. Otherwise, he has an incentive to declare it, to declare it a tam in order to be brought back. So, yeah, he'll have a
time.
He's the same Elah who also came up with some mumim that are some things that the Chacham didn't know about before. Yeah. Anyway, so the question is, Aini, is that so? Behold, Rav Ami Gufei Chazi. We find that Rav Ami himself would shech b'chodes on Yom Tov. The answer is Rav Ami Chazi me'esmo have a Chazi. The answer is what it is Rav Ami would do the actual checking of the mum on Ed of Yom Tov.
You can't go by what you see as a third party.
One second. All Rav Ami would do on Yom Tov is to investigate how this mum came about. Because a problem that you have is, Rashi refers to a Mishnah and a Gemara in Bechoris, Koyanim are choshud to make mumim in a Bechor. Now, nobody is choshud on shechting a Bechor outside, Bechor Tam outside the Beis Mikdash, because that would be a Chiyuv Koris. But to make a mum in Kodshim is only Drabbanon, and since the Koyanim, you think about it, the Koyan, the Yisrael raises the Bechor for a certain amount of time, 30 or 50 days, talks about there in Bechoris, then he gives it to the Koyan, and the poor Koyan is going to be responsible for it until it develops a mum. That could take years. So therefore, the Koyan has a certain incentive to make a mum in it, and then just fine, it'll have a mum, and then we can check it. So therefore, when a Koyan comes with a Bechor and says, there's a mum in it, we have to not only check whether it's a mum kavua or not, we also have to find out the circumstances, how that mum came about. So therefore, that's what Rav Ami would do. So to check the actual mum and find that it's a mum kavua, that he had to do Erev Yom Tov. But then on Yom Tov itself, he could ask the Kohen, so what's the story? Explain to me and bring me evidence. Rashi says he has to bring Edim that this mum happened on its own and not that you did it. As you have the example. You have an example with Rava. He heard who Gavra, the icy Bukhra, the Kamei Rava. There was a person who brought a Bukhur to Rava to check. Apanya de Mala Yomatava in the late afternoon, shortly before Yom Tov started. So I guess he figured it's because you can't check it on Yom Tov, he better get it checked at of Yom Tov, and otherwise he's not going to be able to check it on Yom Tov. So he brought it late in the day. By the way, an interesting side point over here is that we're saying that the Rava, of course, lived in Chutz Laaretz. The cases that we had up until now were in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Rambam writes that Bechor is noyig ba'aretz of Chutz Laaretz. However, the Noisik Kalim on the Rambam point out that there was a Gusa of Rambam that was floating around that said that it's noyig only ba'aretz. And in fact, the Ravid said that's wrong. It applies in Chutz Laaretz as well. So all of them say that's true. The version of the Rambam that was going around that's only noyig ba'aretz is incorrect. The correct Gusa of the Rambam, which you can find nowadays in the printed Rambams, is it is noyig b'chutz la'aretz as well. That is the version that we have in our printed Rambams as well. Although the Minchas Chinuch discusses that maybe the Rambam would say that it's that in Eretz Yisrael it's d'oraisa and b'chutz la'aretz it's d'rabbanan. But anyway, whatever. So again, so this guy brought a bechor to Rava to check. Now, it was shortly before Yom Tov. Yosef Rava v'kochayef reishi. Rava was sitting and scrubbing his head, preparing for Yom Tov. Dali Einev Chazi Lamumei. He lifted up his eyes. He took a break from his shower a minute. Took a look. Saw that it's a mum. So yes, it is a mum kavua. Omalei. But he tells the guy, this is a Koyan who came. Zil Ha'id never told the Macher. Go and come back tomorrow, and we'll finish this up. Ki also the Macher. When the Koyan comes back the next day on Yom Tov, Omar Rava asked him, Heifi Hava Ugda. How did this mum develop? It was a mum where the animal's lip was split. And that's one of the kinds of things that could easily be done by the Kohen himself. So you need to make sure that not. Omalei, so the Kohen says, have a shadian sidi bahach kisa dehutza. There was barley on one side of a fence. Of a hutza usually means a fence made out of lulav leaves, which have sharp edges. Bahavi ihu b'idach kisa. The animal, the bechor, was on the other side. He saw the barley, so he wanted it. Bahadi the barley lemechol, so he wanted to eat the barley. Ayo reisha, he put his head through the fence. Opaute hutsa l'sivase, and the lulav leaf split its lip. So that's how the mum developed. So Omale, so Robert tells him, Dilma at Garantale. So how do we know that this has happened by itself? Maybe you caused it, Midas. Did you deliberately put the barley over there in order that the animal is going to be attracted to it? Which again, that the Koyan is choshed on that. Omale loy, and the guy tells him no, and the implication is, in other words, that he brought Adim to substantiate what he's saying.
So he would need to bring
Adim. See, according to Rashi, he would need to bring Adim. I think there are Rishonim who learn that maybe not. That maybe if he's actually asked openly about it and he says no, then we can take him at his word. But okay. According to Rashi, at least Rashi clearly says it. Tzarech lavi Adim. So yeah. Anyway. So the Gemara says, we're not tamer at the Groma Osir. Now, how do we know Bechlau that being Gurim a Mum in a Bechor is Osir? We know that to make the Mum itself fine would be Osir. But how do we know a Groma? The Tanya. When the Pasuk says, Mum lo yiyaboy, the Pasuk says about any korban, there should not be a mum in it. So we can read the word yiyah as yahayah, as to make it happen. So, ainli ela shalo yahayaboy, therefore that means, from that Pasuk, we can learn that you're not allowed to directly make a mum in the animal, like to directly take a knife and go split its lip. Minayin shalo yahayaboy mum. How do we know that he's not allowed to cause it by an indirect method either? For example, here's your example from Bukharis, that he shouldn't take, for example, dough or fig, a juicy fig, and put it on the ear of the animal, in order that a dog will come and bite it off, and with it, bite off the ear. How do we know you're not allowed to do that? Tamad lema, kol mum, oma mum, but oma kol mum. Therefore, the positive is just say mum lo yiyaboy. It says kol mum lo yiyaboy. So that means even a grumma of a mum is osur. And if the kohen does it, then we're going to cancel him, and we're not going to allow the mum, the bechor to be shechted based on that mum. So therefore, Rabba had to check out the situation. So we're saying the same thing that Rab Ami in his times had to check out the situation. And therefore, that's what it is. So to check the actual checking of the mum itself, whether it's a mum kavua or not, that they would do erev yomtiv. On yomtiv itself, they're allowed to investigate how the mum was caused, and as long as the guy brings the proper evidence, then we're good. By the way, from this gemara over here, seems a bit of a question on the Alter Rebbe's shita about the cartilage over there, because when a dog is going to bite off an ear of an animal, you're not going to bite so deeply that it's going to get all the way to the cartilage near the skull.
Maybe they did bite that much.
Maybe nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe would say that, yeah, it could happen, that the dog bites off that much of the ear, so yeah. Okay.
The dog's biting it already. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Okay. The Mishnah says, Behema Shemesa, if an animal died, and we're going to talk about when it died, we're talking about that it died on Yom Tov.
On
Yom Tov. Lo yizizeno min l'koma, he's not allowed to move it from its place. It's mukta, in other words, as we'll see in the Gemara Y. It happened once that they asked Reb Tarfon a shayla about such an animal, and also they asked him about chala that had become tamei. Now, if the chala was tahor, no problem. We learned in the first perek, we had a machlokes b'shama b'shilul, whether you can bring it to the kohen on Yom Tov, the halacha is like b'shilul that you could. But now that it became tamei, you can't eat it. Rashi adds, you can't burn it on Yom Tov or give it to a dog to eat, because there's a mitzvah to burn kodshim, and that includes challah, that became tameh, and here, burning it or giving it to an animal to eat would be accomplishing that mitzvah, and you're not...
The behemoth is a regular behemoth?
No, we mean like a dog or whatever. It doesn't matter.
The
behemoth, we're going to talk about, what kind of behemoth it was, we're going to talk about it tomorrow. But first, let's talk about the challah. So to give the challah to a dog to eat or to burn it on Yom Tov, if it was a weekday, that would be what you could do, Rashi learns. However, because it's Yom Tov, we have a din that we learned in a few places that you're not allowed to burn kodshim on Yom Tov. But the Gemara in the various places it talks about it, we learned about it in Pesachim, gives a few different reasons why. But whatever the case, actually Rashi over here gives one reason. Rashi mentions over here, again, this concept of achshavei that we talked about on Amud Aleph. Because the Torah says that there's a mitzvah to burn them, that gives it a certain chashivus and elevates it to the status of a malacha. So even though, in other words, normally you would be allowed to burn things on Yom Tov, because you're allowed to use fire on Yom Tov, but because here the Torah gave it a chashivus, therefore that elevates it to a malacha, which you can't do on Yom Tov. The Gemara in various places talks about a few different other reasons why. But anyway, Tosfos actually disagrees with Rashi on a detail of that. Tosfos says that no, b'chlal, the reason you're not allowed to give it to an animal, you would be allowed to, if it was a matter of giving it to an animal, that wouldn't be a problem. The thing is that you can't, Tosfos learns that the only valid way to dispose of kodshim that became tameh is by burning them. And since burning them is blocked because of the Xeris HaKosev that was saying that you can't burn kodshim shenitmu on yavdiv, therefore, there's no other alternative. You can't toast for fluence. If you give it to a dog, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of disposing of kodshim that became tamei. Anyway, the point is, so this chala, therefore, there's no use you can use for it on yavdiv. The nichnas the Beis Medrash Shaul, so he went into the Beis Medrash to ask what the din is. Well, Amru Loi, Lo Yizizim, and Mekayimim, and indeed, the Chachamim and the Beis Medrash told him, you're not allowed to move either one of them. So, the Gemara asks, Leima Tznan Stama Deleike Rav Shimon. Do we have to say now that we have a Stam Mishnah not like Rav Shimon? Where again, we've learned before, Rav Shimon does not hold of the broad concept of Muktzeh. He holds it only in certain specific cases. The Tznan, now we learn a Mishnah in Shabbos, but actually the detail that we're going to learn here is a Braisa, so really it's the Tanya. Rav Shimon Omer, Mechaf Chenes Adloin Lefna Behema. Rav Shimon says that you're allowed to cut up pumpkins for an animal to eat, that's an available lefna klavim, and you're allowed to cut up a dead animal to feed to dogs. And the point is, we're talking about where it died on Shabbos. And the Mishnah continues, or the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Lo Hosin Nevela Me'ed of Shabbos Asura. If the animal was not dead before Shabbos, then it's Asur, because it's not Minam Mochon, it's Mochza. So obviously we're talking about died on Shabbos, because if it died before Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't have a problem with it. So we're talking about it died on Shabbos, and still Rabbi Shimon allows you to cut it up. So if on Mishnah is saying, Lo Yizizenim Im Koma, you're not allowed to move it, that means not like Rabbi Shimon. The answer is no. I feel the tamer of Shimon. You could even say on Mishnah goes like Rav Shimon because murdered Rav Shimon by the Chaim Shemesu Shasurit. Because Rav Shimon is going to agree where it was completely healthy, Bein HaShemoshes, and then it died unexpectedly on Yom Tov, that it would be usher. Because when is he allowing it? Only when it was Mesukenes, only when Bein HaShemoshes, it was already dangerously sick, and he already has in mind it's very likely to die on Yom Tov, and therefore it's going to be murdered. So the Gemara says, "Hanichal Mar Baramema Meshmei Deraba." Now that works according to the explanation of Mar Baramema Meshmei Deraba in the Gemara and Shabbos over there. The Amar Moida Hoyer Rav Shimon Bala Chaim Shemesu Shasurin. He says exactly that. That Rav Shimon would say that there's a difference between an animal that was completely healthy at the beginning of Shabbos or Yom Tov versus one that was not. Where Rav Shimon is going to agree that if it was completely healthy, then it's Muktzeh when it dies on Shabbos, and if not, then not. Shapir, well then that works. So now we can say that our Mishnah is talking about an animal that was completely healthy at the beginning of Yom Tov, and now it died unexpectedly in the middle of Yom Tov, and therefore Rav Shimon is saying, and therefore even Rav Shimon would agree Lo Yizizenim Im Koma. Fine. Elo Lamar Breid Rav Yosef Mishmei De Rava, but then we also have Mar Breid Rav Yosef also in the name of Rava, who learns differently. He says Rav Shimon would disagree and say even if the animal was completely healthy before Yom Tov, it would be mutter to, if it died on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, it would be mutter to move it, to cut it up. And the reason for it, now what about the fact that he didn't have it in mind? So the Rashba gives a couple of svaris. First of all is, one svara is that nevertheless he may at least with then one svara is that nevertheless he is kind of yoshiva mitzapa. After all, it is common enough for animals to die unexpectedly, so therefore he does have in mind before Shabbos and before Yom Tov that it would be available. With Yom Tov, of course, all the more so because he knows that on Yom Tov he could check it. But even with Shabbos, it's quite likely for animals to die, so therefore he does have it in mind. So if Shimon would allow it, my ikalamemer. So now, why in our Mishnah, then when we're saying that it's mukta, so that wouldn't work according to Rav Shimon. We would rather say that a stam Mishnah goes according to everybody, especially because at least when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the halacha is like Rav Shimon. The answer is Targum Ze'iri beBehemas Kodshim. The answer is Ze'iri explained that we're not talking about an animal of cholin. We're talking about an animal of kodshim. Now there, if it dies, there's a couple of reasons why you can't do anything with it. First of all, it's osur b'hana. Now, why can't you be poydit? It's osur b'hana. You can't be poydit. Now, why not? A couple of reasons. First of all, Rashi says because you need hamada v'harocha. The Torah tells us if you have an animal of kodshim that you want to be poydit, you have to stand it up in front of the kohen, and the kohen evaluates it, and then you pay that amount. Here, the animal is dead. You can't stand it up. Also, there's something called ein poydit. It's a kodshim la'achil on the klavim. You're not allowed to be poydit kodshim, where the only thing you could do with them afterwards is throw them to the dogs, as is the case with nevela. And even Rashi adds, even according to the opinion that you could, that poydit is a kodshim la'achil on the klavim, you couldn't do that on Yom Tov. So for all those reasons, therefore, the animal has no use on Yom Tov, and therefore you can't do anything with it. The Pnei Yeshua, by the way, points out an interesting thing. He says, didn't Reb Tarfon live after the Churban? So in that case, the only Kodshim in his times is a Bechor. So in that case, there's a better reason. You can't be Poydah, a Bechor, because Kedushas in Erechem. On the other hand, there's a later sefer called Be'eris Mayim that says no. As a matter of fact, we have a sifri that shows that Reb Tarfon was still living before the Churban. He lived through the Churban. He was wealthy. That's true, but that's neither here nor there. Well, not necessarily, but
not necessarily.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway, the point is that Reb Tarfon, and he brings over there. You have a sifri that talks about. Or the Kohenim, is a Kohen who's a Baal Mum allowed to blow the Chatzotius in the Mismikdash? So Rabbi Tarfon says yes. Rabbi Akiva says no. And then Rabbi Akiva says, so Rabbi Tarfon says, what are you talking about? I had an uncle who had a limp and he still blew the Chatzotius. And Rabbi Akiva tells him that may not have been in the Mismikdash. That may have been to announce Hakel. And Rabbi Tarfon says, you know what? You're right.
Oh, wow.
So therefore, we see that Rabbi Tarfon was alive and remembered what happened during the time of the Mismikdash.
He had a lot of respect for Akiva.
So Ibazoi, then, the point is that he was living in the time of the Mismikdash, so there were other kodshim available. And that's what Rashi
believed. Even if they were the same age, it was many years before Rabbi Akiva went to learn.
Okay. Anyway, yeah.
Right?
Right. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara.
Rabbi Akiva saw the Korban Bayit.
Yes, sir. Well, the Pashas, yeah. It has to be, because he lived to 120, and he was killed about 50 or 60 years after the Korban. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So again, the Edi explains, we're talking about an animal of kodshim. And the Gemara says, De Kanami. In fact, you can show from the wording of the Mishnah that it must be. De Katani, Allah of Allah Chalashanikvis. Because after all, the Mishnah said that Reb Tarfon went to ask about an animal that died and Chala that became Tomei. So therefore, it means there's a similarity. Ma Chala de Kadisha, Afahema de Kadisha. So the Chala has Kadisha, apparently so does the animal. Well, now the question is, El Atayma de Kadisha. Well, then the implication is, because the animal is Kodesh, is why the Mishnah is saying you can't move it. Ha de Chulin Sharia, implying had it been an animal of Chulin, it would have been Mutter. Now the problem is the other way around. Ha Michal, Ma'ad Vered, Rabbi Yosef, Mishmei de Rava, Yom Chol Akoyer of Shimon, Af Balachayim Shemesim, Shemotarin, that Rabbi Shimon holds that even if the animal died, that even if a perfectly healthy animal died on Yom Tov, Rav Shimon would say, according to the Svarah, that's Mutter, Shapir, then fine. That explains why the Mishnah has to be, why we have to understand that the Mishnah is implying that it was a behemoth of Kodshim. El al mar ba amem of Shmei Durava. But what about mar ba amem's version? Drama moida hoyd of Shimon ba lachaim shemesus asurin. He says that Rav Shimon would agree that if the animal was healthy, it's also my ikalamema, then why is our Mishnah specifically talking about a behemoth of Kodshim? The answer is Hoch Maiskin Vim Sukenis. The answer is our Mishnah would have to be talking about an animal that was the Mishnah in Shabbos, where Rav Shimon allows you to cut it up, would be talking about a Masukenis. And therefore, Rav Shimon is saying you're allowed to, and only if it's kodshim is there a problem. So, you know, our Mishnah then is talking about a Masukenis. Our Mishnah that's saying that if it was healthy, then you can't, but if it was kodshim, you're not allowed to, but if it's chulin, it is, that would be when it was Masukenis before the beginning of Yom Tov. And therefore, if it's chulin, then according to this version, Rav Shimon says it's fine to move it on Yom Tov. And the only reason that would answer it is if it's kodshim. So that's according to that opinion why the Mishnah has to be implying that it was kodshim. Now, so in that case, Tosfos says, so why did Rav Tarfon even have a suffix? He knows that kodshim there's nothing you can do with them after they die. You have to bury them. The answer is, he thought maybe Bizoyan kodshim, maybe you should do something with it. Maybe you should be able to bury it on Yom Tov, or do something with it on Yom Tov, and the Chachamim told him that no. Now, this that we say the Divrei Hakol, by the way, it seems that Rashi did not have that Gisa, because Rashi mentions that our Mishnah is according to Rav Shimon, implying, in other words, only according to Rav Shimon, not according to Rav Yehuda. Uh-huh. And also, the Baal HaMor also discusses this. Are we saying, what is the halacha in the end? Are we saying that only a behemah mesukenes, or that only if it was mesukenes before Yom Tov or before Shabbos, are you allowed to move it? If not, then not. Or is it, or do we put in the gusa, the divrei hakol, and it means that even Rabbi Yehuda would be fine with that? Another possibility, I think the Meiri says that maybe the divrei hakol does not refer to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, rather it refers to Ma'abre de Rabbi Yosef, and Mar Bar HaMemer, where both of them would accept that our Mishnah could be talking about an animal that was sick at the beginning of Yom Tov. The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, it depends. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that there are areas of...
You guys are mine and guy. I'm only here 2 minutes and he already said so much.
Thank you. So first of all, the Altogether points out in Hilchus Yom Tov and Akuntos Achron that the whole issue over here is not really Mukta. The issue over here is Noilad. Now, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that there are areas, Noila being one of them, where we're machmir on Yom Tov compared to Shabbos, because we don't want people to treat Yom Tov carelessly, given that there are so many things that are mutter on Yom Tov that are also on Shabbos.
The nutshells?
So therefore, the result is, on Shabbos, therefore, you're allowed to move the animal even if it died on Shabbos. There, even if it was healthy, there the halacha is like Rav Shimon. On the other hand, here, when it comes to the animal dying on Yom Tov, only if it was sick before Yom Tov, and you in fact had in mind that it's likely to die on Yom Tov, but otherwise not. So in other words, the halacha would be like Rav Shimon when it comes to Shabbos, and because there we don't care about Noilad, and on Yom Tov, the halacha would be like Rav Yehuda, who cares about Noilad. Okay. The Mishnah says, Ein nimnin ala behem ala chachila b'yom Tov. Suppose you have a bunch of people who want to share an animal, and so they're not allowed to register for it to begin with on Yom Tov, which we'll see in the Gemara. We have a short piece of Gemara over here, what that means. Avon nimnin alama ed of Yom Tov, but we're allowed to register for it before Yom Tov, the Sheikhtin, and then on Yom Tov itself, the Sheikhet Shechtit, or Mechalkin Benehem, and they divide it among themselves without figuring out how much each person's portion is worth. And the next day, afterwards, they'll figure out how much each one was worth and can contribute and contribute their amount. In other words, the idea was, you have to remember, in those days, they didn't have refrigeration. So they wouldn't shecht an animal unless they had a bunch of people pre-registered to buy the meat.
And that's also why Avram Yenachai was such a big deal.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Because
they might cut off a leg.
And they're like, okay, you just get a lift for a few more weeks, and then we'll cut off another lift, and then we'll cut off.
That makes sense, yeah. Anyway, so the Gemara says, my ein nimnin. What does this word ein nimnin mean? So, Amar Rav Yehuda Amashmul, ein poiskin damen lachatchila ala behem abiyamter. Means you're not allowed to decide the value, how much this animal is worth, and how much each person has to chip in on Yom Tov. And the reason is because Mecha Chomemker is also on Shabbos and Yom Tov. This is one of those places, by the way, Rashi brings something from Sefer Ezra. It's really actually, we have it in our Tanakhs nowadays. It's at the end of Nehemiah. We've talked about before how Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah are really one long Sefer that eventually the Goyim split into two. I've mentioned before also something the Chidah says on it, that Pnimis and Yonim, it was Min HaShemayim that should come out that way. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin a reason why Nehemiah was not Zoicha to have a sefer named after him, but he says afterwards Nehemiah, he brings that Nehemiah was Nisgalgal in Rav Gamliel, and he went through the whole embarrassment of being deposed and so forth, so that was enough of a kapara for him that eventually he could have the sefer was split off and named for him.
What a story.
Yeah, anyway. So you're not allowed to do Mecha Chomemker on Yom Tov, therefore you're not allowed to...
Have you heard the same thing that Rabbi Gamliel did?
No, they're both from Malchut, they're both descended from Beis David, and anyway.
What did Nehemiah do wrong?
Nehemiah, no, he didn't... Well, what he did wrong, the Gemara says, is the Gemara mentions a couple of possibilities. One is that he was too proud of his accomplishments. The Hechsik Tovel Atman says several times in his part of the Sefer, he says, Zochra li alekai v'toiv Hashem, remember me for good for this and this and this that I accomplished. Another thing the Gemara says, he also spoke negatively about his predecessors as governors of Eretz Yisrael, one of whom was Daniel. Okay. And then who's greater than him. So yeah. Anyway. So at the end of Sefer Ezra or Sefer Nehemiah, it tells how Nehemiah found there were people who were actually buying and selling and doing business in Yerushalayim on Shabbos, and he forced them to stop. So we see already from there that Mecha Chomemka is a Gzeder Drabbanon, but already at that time that Gzeder was made, and therefore it's also. So now, the same thing then, in Poskim Damim, because of that. Now, of course, the question is, in that case, what's the chiddush? One possibility is, even we have Rabim over here, and really the reason behind, one reason why Mekach Memker is also, is because he might come to right. You might think Rabim are going to remind each other not to, and therefore you don't have a problem. Still, the Mishnah is telling us you can. So the Gemara says, Heifi Ovid, so how do you do it? After all, after Yom Tov, the meat's already going to be eaten. You're not really going to have a way of estimating the price. So what do you do? Amar Rab, maybe Shtei Behemis, what you do is you take two animals before Yom Tov, you take two animals that are similar in size and weight and quality and whatever, you put them one next to the other, but Omer, and he says, Zu Kazu, look, this one is the same value as the other one, so now we'll shecht one on Yom Tov, we'll divide it up among ourselves, afterwards, after Yom Tov, we'll take the other one, and we'll figure out how much it's worth, and automatically from that, we'll know how much the first one was worth too. Tani Nami Hochi, we learned similarly in a Braisa. Lo Yoma Odom Lachavere Haini Imcha Besela Hareini Imcha Beshtayim. A person is not allowed to say on Yom Tov to somebody else, I'm joining in with you on this animal, I'm in for Sela, or I'm in for two Sloyim worth of meat. Aval Oimaloi Hareini Imcha Lamechtav Lashlish Lovia, but he can say I'm in for a half or a third or a quarter of the animal, because that's not mentioning a monetary value. This is on Yom Tov. Before Yom Tov, of course, you can do whatever you want. But on Yom
Tov,
you can say I'm in for a Sela before Yom Tov, of course. But on Yom Tov, you can't, but you can say I'm in for half. So what do we do? As we said, after Yom Tov, we're going to figure out how much the animal is worth, and then we'll figure out, okay, so how much is half worth? So Ein Nimnin, we're saying, means Ein Poiskin Damim. Means you're not allowed to say a monetary value.
You can jump in.
You can jump in, but you just have to say, for example, you can say I'm in for a quarter. I'm going to take, once this animal is shechted, then I'm accepting in advance that I'm going to take one quarter of this animal. And after Yom Tov, we'll figure out how much that quarter was worth.
And then the storekeeper can turn his priest down.
The priest, and we said, were places where they sold spices or whatever.
Whatever it was.
Good.
He turned that down. Remember, he used to turn it down. Yeah.